Who's afraid of summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go.
Welcome to Friday. Well, let's say you're the richest guy in the world. And the world's largest tabloid, or close to it, blackmails you. Well, this could get interesting. The story of Jeff Bezos, the National Enquirer, and a blackmail thing. My experience with blackmail is limited. You're not going to believe this story. If you haven't already dived into this, it's ugly all over.
Steve, where you know you've made it when.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, if you're the richest guy in the world and you're willing to risk half of that on an affair, you're probably willing to spend a few million more to make sure you have the investigators needed to find out what you need to find out. And then he did, I would call it a Letterman. Remember when Letterman was having sex with his interns? Mm-hmm. It was a really bad idea. And when he was getting blackmailed, he went on TV that night and talked about the blackmail. You shut it down.
Well, the extortion part of it is all... The question is whether it's politically motivated. That's
right.
What they got to get at. And it sounds like from the
email... Well, the blackmail's a crime.
Yeah. But it's it's alleged blackmail. You could there's an interpretation in there. But the I'm amazed that he's been able to get it to wherever the leaks came from and see that it was, he says, was politically motivated, people with associations with the
Trump. I haven't mentioned Trump.
That's crazy.
You mentioned Trump. No, I haven't mentioned Trump. All right, now since you mentioned Trump, let me mention Trump.
So go ahead.
So Donald Trump and David Pecker, and by the way, his name gets funnier every time, David Pecker are pals and have been pals for a long time. David Pecker agreed to a cooperation agreement with prosecutors and with a special counsel to make sure he stays out of jail and the National Enquirer's assets are protected. You can't engage in any sort of close to criminal activity when you're in a cooperation agreement with the feds. This is what that looks like, and it smells like Paul Manafort doing the same thing. So anyway, it's ugly, it's twisted, it's complicated, but the richest guy in the world getting blackmailed by the National Enquirer, I mean, come on, you can't make it up.
The only thing that's exciting about that story is at least he's pushing back on it. I can only assume that over time the Enquirer has done these kind of things.
You just can't
before,
make it up.
And at least this guy's got more power, he can push back on it.
Yeah, and he shuts down the idea that those pictures are going to be printed, because now if the Enquirer goes ahead and prints them, they just back up the fact that they were pulling that.
Also, they're kind of, you know, if you know this or not, but the National Enquirer's web servers are located on the Amazon web service, AWS.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, let's get on with it. Here's your top six and six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Blackhawks, keep it rolling, baby. An overtime win against the Canucks. It would have been nice to keep the Canucks from getting that point, but that's fine. That's fine. They are 2 points out of a tie for the final wild card spot. Jonathan Toews, a little chip in for the game winner in overtime. How many in a row is that, Dave?
That is six in a row, Steve. That is the longest streak for the Blackhawks since 2017, which also was the last time they were in postseason play, by the way. And the standings this morning, Vancouver gets the 1 point, but they drop out of that second wild card spot. St. Louis, which unfortunately for the Blackhawks has also chosen to get hot right now, they take over that second spot, but the Blackhawks with 53 points, only 2 points out of it.
2 points.
Yeah, I mean, they've really narrowed the gap.
How about that?
Here.
And again, every time they win, it gets better. 20, and it sounds logical, but there is an exponential quotient to it with hockey because you get 2 points for a win.
Yeah, right.
27 games left. They need 37 points to get to 90 points. Here's what they need to do.
Was it ever in doubt, Steve?
Of course not. Here's what they need to do. They need to go 18-8 the rest of the way. 18-8. And if you've won six in a row, 18-8 looks very doable.
Regardless, and I think they'll make the playoffs, but regardless of how great is it that there will be very competitive, very important hockey in Chicago in the last 2 months. Every game will count and it'll be important. I'm checking the score. I'm paying attention to a game against the Canucks in February.
Now, winning 26 in a row would be better because that would be 32 in a row and that would lock up a playoff spot.
Hopefully.
So, anyway, it's fun again. Hockey's fun again and go Blackhawks next. The first big idea to save the planet from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and a couple of other Democrats whose names you wouldn't know is something called the New Green Deal. It's a multi-tiered, multifaceted idea. It hasn't exactly been hugged yet by Nancy Pelosi. But the way this works is now there'll be pieces of that larger bill that will go forward into legislation will actually be voted on. The biggest piece of it, creating a 10-year plan to take on climate change. And support and criticism has been swift, but plan on part of this new Green Deal getting done. It's just going to get done because it has to get done.
Yeah.
Next. Wind chill right now, 13 below. In other words, tropical compared to where we were 10 days ago.
I heard this morning Tim McGill said that it feels 50 degrees colder today than it did yesterday.
Don't care, because you know what it felt like last week? It was 57 below. 13 below, really. I mean, no one should say cold enough for you anywhere today. Except John got in the car this morning. John DeCoste and I ride to work like Fred and Barney. And John DeCoste.
By the way, my feet were frozen.
Yeah, as you were running the car.
Yes, I can't stop the car that way anymore.
But, John, you were actually chilly.
Yes. It probably has a lot to, fact to do with I have 8.7 in red blood cells.
Yes, so. John's got a low red blood cell
so
count.
Cold is not...
That's a good point.
Is that a test you get at Walgreens?
What is that?
Yeah, I'd like to... Yeah. Check my red blood
cell. Actually, you can get it. I got it at the drive through at Wendy's.
Huh. Actually, if you guess what your red blood cell count is, you're a big winner.
Yeah. I got a free sausage muffin.
Do you check that every day?
Every 2 days, Mary.
Oh.
Now I want a sausage muffin.
Me too. Now I want more blood cells.
Speaking of food, I got to talk to you about food because what you did last night is insane. Okay. Mm-hmm. At some point, you have to draw the line. At some point, you have to go. The routine has to stop.
I cannot be stopped.
Next, our friend Pat Brady and the Lincoln Forum folks put on a debate for the top five public polled candidates for the mayoral race last night on Fox. And 45 minutes before the debate, Bill Daley said, yeah, I'm not coming.
How about that?
Paul Vallis said, I'm in the lobby. You need me? And Paul Vallis stepped in. The debate was the one that Amara Enya sued over to try and stop. Her lawsuit was thrown out yesterday afternoon by a Cook County judge. Fox and the Lincoln Forum, through the public polling, chose five of the 14 candidates. There will be a second debate where the other candidates will be involved, or at least the next five, or the next
handful. Being branded as the kiddie table debate.
Right. Right. Well, remember near the end of the Republicans narrowing down to 17, they had those two-tiered things.
Yeah.
There's like the opener and then the main event. So I've not talked to Pat Brady. Did anybody see this?
I did.
And?
It was good. It was an interesting setup because it was in a hall. It was at the Union League Club. So
it looked cool.
It looked cool, and they had the carpet down. And because of the space, the candidates had to be louder than, say, a regular TV studio. So I liked that style because it was more, it was livelier. You had a Tony Preco who had almost shout. And that made it more
Well, maybe that's why
fun.
Bill Daley didn't come, because he would have to emote.
I find that to be, I mean, it's coming off, you know, I guess a scandal in the Tribune about fudging an insurance test back in the 70s that was on the front page yesterday. But not good form for a mayoral candidate to back out of a televised
45
debate,
minutes 45 before.
Especially one with such controversy.
No, not
you
cool.
know, there are already candidates saying, why wasn't I invited? And then the supposed front runner's like, it's not worth my time. That's crazy. That's not good form.
Next, $15 minimum wage getting done in Springfield fairly quickly. More details on that later. And Johnson & Johnson, first pharmaceutical company to list pill prices in ads so you actually know what you're going to pay for. You'll notice how much it's going to cost to do whatever you need to do pharmaceutically. This is being called the Cochran Law.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
Texter says, I find the name Cochran just as funny as the name Pecker. Well played.
That is well played.
Well played. Sandberg.
So, Lou, are you there?
Where's Lou? Here's Lou. Go ahead.
I am.
Okay, so I have to tell you a funny story. Steve's brother Mickey is in town, and so he's here.
Shout out to Mickey, Lou. There you go.
And he came in studio, and he told us that he's staying until Steve's birthday, which is March 14th. Mm-hmm. And so we all said, oh, good. And he goes, you know, when you turn practically 60.
He rounded up
because Steve's going to be 58.
Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, who rounds up?
And Steve said, don't be rounding up. But he said it really, then Mickey doubled down and said he's basically 60. So
it's ridiculous.
It was good times in here.
Well, how old are you, by the way?
I'm 54.
Mickey said you're going to be 75.
You know, I'm practically 75.
Happy 60th, Steve.
Yeah.
Man, what a milestone.
Good, he's finally older than me. All right.
You are what your thermostat says you are.
Ah, well said, Dave.
That's good.
Well said. Brian's on the north side with the first call. Brian, what do you have for us?
Lou, this is Brian on the north side. Love you, love your show. Lou, I'm having problems with my garage door. There's a coil along the left side that goes from the spring up top down to the bottom of the door. That coil, that wire cable is gone. And I was curious what I could do to fix that.
Gone as in no longer works.
It no longer works.
All right, so he's got a coil issue. What do we got, Lou?
But you have a spring that goes horizontally over the top of the door, correct, when the door is closed?
Yes, I do. Yes, I consider myself a fairly handy DIY guy, but I just sense that this is out of my control.
Yeah, I'm not one that gives a lot of... I don't like to give advice on the garage doors with those tension springs across the horizontal part of the door, because those are under pretty good tension, and if that cable has snapped... You know, that cable that it's got a little hook point on the bottom of the door, and that's what allows the spring to assist the opener coming up and down. Now, if you can find the cable, like if it's hanging up and twisted around the spring up top, you could certainly pull that down and try and reattach it to the door. But if it snapped, if the cable itself snapped, I think that you're better off getting a garage door company to come out and do that repair, because... That, as I mentioned, that spring's under high tension. It's not that the tools are specialty, but the experience is needed to make sure that it's properly set so that it doesn't snap off or, you know, have shards of it coming smacking you in the face.
Yeah, that would be bad. Is that an expensive fix?
I'm sorry?
Is that an expensive fix?
I mean, it's a service call, so, I mean, you know, okay. The parts are nothing, but, I mean, it could be a $300 to $400 proposition.
Speaking of expensive, I have a friend, close friend, actually, who has
almost 60?
No, they're much younger. but they have a crack that is 42? Developed. They're not that young. A crack that is developed in their basement floor. And they had someone out to do a laser measurement of the same, and one side of the basement maybe as much as an inch below the other. It's a nice home, and this sounds like it's a very expensive fix.
It's not, actually.
Oh, it's not.
so you know our friends over at PermaSeal.
Yeah, heard of them.
They do a process called poly level.
You just told me about this, Lou.
Mm-hmm.
They
can do that inside as well. It's a spray polyurethane instead of a slurry mix of grout and concrete, so it's far more precise. They can drill a couple of small holes in that basement floor and raise it where it needs to be to almost exactly how it was when it was brand new.
And then you said you have to paint it.
Well, in your case, because you have a garage floor that, you know, kind of has a mosaic look, painting it will make it look nice. But in a basement floor where it may be unpainted, and depending on the cracks or the sinking of it, they can raise it up and bring it exactly to where it was.
So if you have a crack like that, does it just continue to get worse, or does it reach peak crackiness?
It really all depends on the soil conditions. You know, the way a basement floor works is, you know, you get your foundation walls, and there's gravel over the top of the footings, and if that sinks down, at some point it'll stop just because the footing of the foundation will typically hold at least the perimeter, but if it's in the center where it's sinking, I mean, you know, it could keep going. I mean, it's not like something that's going to be, oh my gosh, now it's 2 feet deep, but, you know, it can grow.
What are we talking cost-wise? Ballpark it.
Something like that on an interior, depending on how much time they can spend. It's probably anywhere from $500 to $1,500.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
Well, I'm going to tell him to create another crack.
It's way less expensive than replacing all the concrete.
He told me to do that because I have a sinking area in our garage where water pools, and it bothers me.
Well, you don't want that.
Nope.
Lou, tomorrow on your show, you'll be answering what type of questions, or is there a focus you want to focus on now that you're focused?
Tomorrow, actually, we're going to be out at the Old House, New House Home Show doing a live remote from 7 to 10 in the morning, and then people, if they come out to St. Charles to see us, the first, I think it's anybody that comes to the broadcast gets a free ticket to the home show for that day. And we will be answering questions live. We have some giveaways. We have coffee and pastries, which I think is why people are going to come.
That is.
So we'll have a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun. And then I'm going to be appearing at the PermaSeal booth from 11:30 to 12:30. So if people would like to ask questions in person and want to do it in a more intimate setting, we can talk about raising their concrete together.
But intimate meaning you have like Luther Vandross records playing in the background,
right,
and stuff like
right.
that?
Right. Little Luther Vandross, little Teddy Pendergrass.
Got some wine.
Some wine.
Hey, guys. Our guy from the north side gets an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat that allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on the smartphone from American Weather Makers, the 60 Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC.
What are you doing on TV?
We're going to talk about, we hit all this water, and it's kind of this funny February, and so I've got some tips to make sure it stays out of your basement. One in particular I heard somebody recently had a battery backup system that was beeping.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And it turns out, I bet he needs water in the battery.
So, as it turns out, there was a little more going on there, and the fine people at PermaSeal replaced the system last night.
Oh.
Been a very expensive week.
I love the standing over the top of it going, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Oh, you would have loved even more seeing me in the rain outside looking at it and going, I have no idea what I'm doing out here either. And I thought about calling you, but as I said, Lou Manfredini's not open at 4:30 in the morning.
No, I probably was.
Thank you, buddy.
Love you.
Love you back. See you, bye. And we're coming back with those headlines next on 720 WGN.
My buckthorn is exploding.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business.
Trying to teach you a little business by, exploiting the knowledge of people who are doing it and getting it done on an extremely high level. And if you don't like macarons, then you are not doing a bad French accent and pretending you're French in studio. Julien Gouillet of, not bad, right? Not bad.
No, it's not bad.
Of Le Macaron, Justin.
It's not good, but not bad.
Not bad. Le Macaron in Chicago is in Lincoln Park. And this is a business that's a franchise. It comes out of Florida, but it's the first of its kind in Chicago. And the macaron is not something that is necessarily indigenous to this area, but it's something that I think a lot of people know about. We'll talk about what it is and also about the challenges of actually opening up a business with a product that people aren't necessarily familiar with. Julien, thanks for being on Download in Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank.
Thank you so much to invite me in your radio. Yes, I opened the store the 1st December now, and so a lot of people coming in my store. And
2 months, just 2 months.
Yeah, just 2 months, yeah.
Well, it's very impressive. Sandberg, why don't you sample first the product? What do you have there?
I have a Valentine's Day special macaroon. Is it macaroon or...
The macaron.
Macaron.
Macaron. Macaron. Normally, you can match the coconut tart, you know.
Yes. That was my name when I danced, coconut tart.
I'm eating, it's cherry and chocolate, I believe.
Yeah, cherry and chocolate.
Take a bite.
The same thing you can find the Mon Cheri chocolate in France, in fact.
It's amazing.
I'm sure it is. And
these are for all for me, so nobody is getting any of them.
And the president of France is not Macron.
He's Macron. Macron.
Very close you're a wise guy. All right. So let's get into the business end of this.
Yeah, Julien, you know, for you to come here, you've only been in the States for 6 to 8 months, and you've only had this business for 2 months. What have been first of all, tell us why you came to the States. Why was it important to open this shop in Chicago?
In fact, I would have just opened something that just matched with my language, with my French origin. And so the the French pastry for me is really important to open the store, in fact, because I love the pastries and I love the delicate product like this, you know what I mean?
These are beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So the mini colors. Keep in mind, in fact, the pastries, the macarons, very light.
Dessert. Well, the presentation is lovely, but I have to say, I have no idea how you or any of your countrymen can continue to be thin. All you do is eat bread, cheese, wine, and macarons. How is it possible you're not a fat guy? He's laughing, but he stopped in his tracks.
I know.
Do you just constantly move? Is that it?
Yeah, probably. So my mother is the same size as me. You know.
Well, you're in great shape. It's a compliment.
You think genetics?
Yeah.
Well, it's a compliment. DNA. You're in great shape.
It's just the DNA, in fact.
You know what? It's a compliment and it's bitterness. It's both of those.
You know, to open up a store that is such a specialty that is you're competing against other pastry shops and other cookie shops and other bakeries. But how do you make sure that? How do you get the clientele to come to Lincoln Park for something that is a specialty that people may not know about?
In fact, I already make some communication. Yesterday, I was a lead exchange event. So, you know, so many influencers are coming on the mm-hmm. on the events. I come as well. I'm very a lot of company, mainly the business for the auto show Chicago.
So you're making inroads by doing different events to bring and communication,
yeah,
and marketing.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Many influencers are coming in the store as well.
Mm-hmm. I just ate my second macaron, and I'm not kidding when I say they are the best ones I have ever eaten. And I have eaten a lot of these.
Should we take the box away from you now?
No, I'm eating them all.
Okay.
All right. I ate the Colombian coffee. That one. That's the one. Now I'm going to go vanilla.
Yeah.
Let me ask, Julian, just what's the difference between opening a small business in Chicago and, say, opening up a small business, the same kind of business, in Paris?
It's very different, in fact. So in the United States, it's easy to open a company because you find easily the investments from the bank, from somebody.
So it's easy to get money, right.
Help you, in fact. In France, it's a little bit complicated because the administration is very strict. And so,
yeah, we call that red tape.
The right tape.
Red tape. In here, it's called red tape when the government gets too involved in your business.
Yeah. Is right. So, and I think to open the store in France, you have so many money to help you to open the store. Yeah.
So franchised, the business is franchised.
Yeah.
How many do you personally have? You own yourself?
Just one.
Okay.
Just one. Yeah, just opened my first store, in fact, in December. Yeah.
But the hope is the store will be all over America.
Yeah, yeah. There is a 50 store actually, and so mainly it's in Florida because they're headquartered in Sarasota.
Is quality control difficult because pastries are hard to make? You know, making sure there's a consistency in the product?
Yeah, in fact, the confectionery makes this is a laboratory in Sarasota and shipping all the store.
So there's standards that they have to meet.
Yeah. It's, in fact, all macaron is frozen, so it's shipping directly in your store.
Well,
so
you can
keep this on the working freezer, some freezer.
So it's consistent.
Yeah.
Why did you choose Lincoln Park of all the areas in Chicago?
First of all, it's a huge opportunity because I find the area on the spot, in fact, and I think the intersection Army Station Schinfe is very frequently by the pedestrian and undercar, and it's very close to the Army Station Bourne line.
It feels so perfect. It feels perfect for the product. It really does. So. Justin?
Just, you know, being someone who grew up and lived in France, and now you're a Chicago business person, what is it about Chicago that you like? What is it about this town that you've only known for 8 months or so and been in business for only a month and a half? What is it about Chicago that you like?
Yeah, in fact, Chicago is very... I love this city. In fact, it's crazy when I come in the first time here, when you see the architecture, the difference, modern and old in the mix in the same city. You have the skyline on the lake. And
like our view here.
Yeah. In fact, the lake is the same like the sea, in fact. So it's very...
Well, that's high praise coming from you, because the architecture of Paris is maybe the most beautiful in the world.
Yeah. It's Haussmannian architecture, yes. It's the same things. All the
well,
the
nice part
on Paris, you know what I mean? So here is completely different because you have the mix, the modern and on the old. So it's particular.
It's very nice to hear. All right, so first off, congratulations on the business success so far. Congratulations. I think your English is amazing considering the few months you've been here, so you should be proud of that. And if people, Justin, want to go and buy what we in France refer to as Le Macaron.
Le Macaron. It's an Armitage, 958 Armitage in Lincoln Park is where the shop is at. And you can find it online as well.
Nice to see you. Wait. You have a question, John?
Well, actually, would you do me a favor? Would you please describe what is in there in your native tongue? In your language, and then I will interpret.
Yes, in French, please tell us what the ingredients are.
And then I will interpret for everybody else.
Yes, in French.
And then I will interpret.
Yes. You do speak French, correct?
So, somebody translate me?
Yes, I will translate.
He'll translate.
Don't worry
you.
About it. I got it down. Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Donc, le macaron, en fait, c'est deux... vous avez deux meringues que vous pouvez voir, autour.
Many different colors.
Yeah. Avec plusieurs différentes de couleurs. Vous avez une ganache au milieu qui peut être une confiture ou une crème. Ou
Donuts by the Dunkin' make me throw up. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. No, continue. Please.
I think I heard ganache. Okay.
I gotta say at this point.
Vous avez différentes saveurs.
Oh, yes, yes.
Là, comme on peut voir, le passion mango.
I agree. Mary Sandberg is a pig. No, I think that's very accurate.
I have to say, I'm not sure he was speaking.
Yeah. I think I was pretty close.
I don't think that was a clear translation.
I think I was pretty close.
We don't have time for it, but a lot of listeners are demanding a French accent from you, Steve, right now. So maybe with
we'll
Dean
bring it back
later. Yeah, but
yes,
we don't have time.
Yes, Pepe Le Pew. wonderful to meet you. Congratulations and welcome to Chicago. And
thank
please
so
give
much.
Our best to your wife, who is working very hard this morning at the store.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. All the best. Thank you, sir.
Very good. Thank you so much.
We'll get to the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in a second at WGN Radio. But last night, in the middle of 50-mile-an-hour crosswinds and the temperature dropping like a stone, Sandberg, you posted a photo of you grilling burgers.
Well, I sent you guys a photo. Yes, because every other Thursday, we get the kids every other Thursday, and I make them burgers. And they look forward to it. And Patrick had basketball. Catherine had a track meet. And
50-mile-an-hour crosswind.
What are we having for
temperature
dinner?
Dropping
it
like a stone.
Hitting my house. I feel like the
house is
going to
blow over. I was in peril out in the backyard, you know, on the patio trying to... It was very difficult to even get the grill cover off because it was like frozen on it.
The grill probably went, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah,
it's too cold for this.
So I still... But I made those burgers and they're perfectly medium rare.
All right. So here's the thing. The question, I think, is obvious. What is it that you won't allow anything to stop you from doing?
I was not going to be stopped. And
in your case, you've got your routines. Anybody that breaks the order of your routines is
order breaking anyway. But when I went out there to turn the grill on, I thought Steve Cochran would never be doing this.
Are you kidding me?
I think 99% of the Chicago area is not.
Yeah, don't just leave me
that.
In the middle of it.
Yeah.
My husband grills out
all
the time.
We grill year-round.
Yeah. Did you grill last night?
I didn't
50-mile-an-hour crosswinds?
Yeah. Almost 60-mile-an-hour winds. Yeah. Almost
right. But if it wasn't on the menu,
you have to stop.
We don't do it every other Thursday.
All right, so what's the question?
What can't you stop? What doesn't stop you, no matter what?
What do you refuse to not do? Yeah, what is it you won't do? The one thing that you will not let humans, nature, or otherwise stop you from doing?
Yeah.
312-981-7200 textures.
Mail carrier.
I won't let any weather, whatever, stop me from being here with you in the morning.
That's nice. It's also nonsense.
Yes.
All right, we'll come back in a moment on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
It is 7:12. We continue. Steve Cochran Show number 1310. Today is always a melancholy day around WGN. It was 19 years ago today that Bob Collins was killed in that infamous plane crash. It seems, I'm sure, Dave, to you and Mary and everybody that knew Bob well, like about 10 minutes ago, I suppose, huh?
It does. It does. And it's weird because I still remember vividly, although probably not as vividly as Orion remembers, but the details of that morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can remember a conversation with Bob about him going flying later that day.
And crystal clear blue sky, beautiful day.
Perfect day.
And didn't he say perfect day to fly?
A great day to go fly an airplane.
Yeah. He said that a couple times that morning. He was really looking forward to it.
And Orion couldn't go. He asked Orion to go with him. And I remember Orion had something else going on.
As he usually does.
Mm-hmm.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah. And I mean, just that whole day, it was surreal.
And again, I've said this a million times, Mary Vandeveld, but the most amazing thing I've ever seen anybody in broadcasting do. Well, the rest of many media outlets in this town irresponsibly reported that Bob Collins had been killed. Bob's wife had not been informed yet. And the last thing anybody wanted was for her to find out in that way. Certainly you guys knew and Spike knew. Mm-hmm. Spike was doing the afternoon show. And Spike did, help me out, 90 minutes to 2 hours knowing Bob was gone without ever going in that direction out of respect to Bob. The next morning, a very prominent local television personality came in to do a story like media nationally and locally did and wanted to sit in Bob Collins' chair to do the story, this dramatic story. And Spike wouldn't allow it. And Spike wouldn't sit in the chair. So, again, I salute Spike Odell on all of that. Well, Mary Vandeveld, thoughts?
Yeah, that was quite a morning. I just remember the next morning, and we were all sitting in Spike's office, and we just looked at each other, and we said, what do we do? And we didn't know how to. Remember, Dave? We were just like, how do we do this show? And Spike was just like, we just do it like Bob would want us to do it. It's radio. We have to carry on. You know, we have to keep going. And he did. He was just amazing that morning. It was we were all in shock.
I remember Max Armstrong came in to do the business right before I did the sports, and he started and he just said, you know, I just don't really feel like doing this.
Can't
this
finish
morning.
It.
But he did, you know, and then I, you know, sort of, yeah, this sports stuff sort of seems pretty trivial.
Yeah, so, nobody felt like, you know, we were all like, why?
The thing that I remember about that morning was after the show, the last thing on the show, Spike did an unbelievable job, and they played the reading that Bob did on that final show about things I've learned.
Yeah, we've played a million times.
And Nick played it this morning,
right?
As well.
And it's goosebumps.
And after that, played the bagpipes, "Amazing Grace," which Bob always played whenever there was a prominent passing. And I remember hearing that and just walking into the halls at WGN and seeing everybody with just tears streaming down their faces.
59, correct? I believe he was 59.
Yeah.
Packed a lot of life into those years. And his lovely wife, who we still occasionally see but not enough, is an amazing woman.
She is.
Who,
Christine.
Has continued to you know, move forward, but she'd be the first to admit it's never been the same. How could it be?
57.
He was 57?
Yes.
Okay.
So by Mickey's math, almost 60.
Yeah, right. Mickey would have rounded up.
And later this month, we'll do our toast to him on his birthday.
Yes. The whiskey 28th? Is on the shelf in my office.
Oh, boy.
And for somebody who doesn't drink, I don't think I've ever said that sentence before. I did not know Bob well at all. I just knew that he kicked my ass regularly, ratings-wise, when I was on other stations in this town. And a few times we crossed paths. He was pleasantly aloof, I would say, because we were competitors. I worked here for a very brief period of time, and this was long before I started working here regularly. And I was asked to do radio coverage of the funeral because there was no way you could get everybody into that church, that big church such that it was. And to this day, weekly, I still have people who come up and want to thank WGN for broadcasting the funeral.
That was the first time I ever met you.
Right.
Because we gathered here at the station first, and you were going on the air.
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, so all you guys could go and pay your respects. But it's one of the things I think is special about this place, to be able to provide some sense of connectivity to the audience, the most loyal audience I've ever seen, and the most loyal audience there is, to kind of complete the circle with the passing of Bob.
And the calls did not stop for days and days and days. Yeah. People wanted to talk about him on the air. I never forget that. Just seeing the lights light up on the phone, it was like, oh my gosh. And everyone that called, we all cried. It was.
Well, it's that whole family thing, right?
Yeah, the whole family.
Sense of family that WGN's had for, is it 90 years this year?
95.
Yeah. 95th birthday. We got some stuff coming up with that as well. But wherever Bob is now, I'm sure he's having a fine time. And Orion says when he meets him someday, and he's in no hurry, they're going to complete that circle too, and they're going to sit on the porch and watch life go by as they had planned to do in the Arizona desert one day.
And I still eat my popcorn out of the popcorn bowl that he gave me.
Is that right?
He gave me a whole set of popcorn bowls, ceramic ones.
That's a nice memory.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Love them.
It is 7:19. We continue, and we'll come back in a moment to tell you a pretty interesting story on the most valuable person on the planet. Later, we'll get to this Jeff Bezos story, which is just unbelievable. And Kellyanne Conway is in some breaking news this morning, Trump's chief advisor, unless you count his daughter. She claims she was assaulted at a restaurant by a woman who claims she was exercising her First Amendment rights to get in her face, and she never touched her. So that'll be a story today in the wacky world in which we live. And I'm sure many of you are thinking, man, I would have loved to hear Collins talk about this stuff.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Nice text in the 219. I loved Uncle Bobby, and the day of his death was the day I fell in love with Spike. So much class along with you. We shed many tears over his passing. All of you make my mornings great every day. Love you all. Constant listener, Linda. Thank you for that. Most valuable person on the planet today. I mean, this is quite a story. As we'll go to the phone and talk to Shelley in just a second about it. But the short of it is, Shelley Monson is a Utah Transit Authority operator. And Shelley, welcome. I don't exactly know what that means. Do you drive? Do you conduct? What do you do?
I'm a bus operator. I drive the transit bus through the cities.
And in August, somebody shot the bus that you were driving at in a town in Utah. Pick up the story from there. What happened?
It was about 5:15 in the morning, and I was just left Fruit Heights Park and Ride and was headed to Farmington Front Runner Station to pick up some passengers when a bullet went through the third window back on my MCI bus.
And at that point, you have no idea why it was happening or where it came from?
All I know is that there was an orchard right there that I was able to take the police back through, and they found a gentleman that was highly intoxicated out there with a rifle or a gun.
So that's probably the last time you ever experienced anything involving a gun. Not so much?
For the most part. Yeah, for the most part.
All right, so tell me about something that's maybe even more memorable. You've had some trials, tribulations, but you love your job. And at one point, mm-hmm. you came across a teenager that needed help. Pick that up.
Last Wednesday morning, I had just finished my express to Salt Lake, and I was headed back in the staff car, and I got to about the northbound Kaysville exit, and there was somebody walking on the freeway by the barrier of the overpass 200 North, which is in between an off-ramp and an on-ramp, where nobody should be walking. And I saw a leg go up on the barrier there. So I flew across the lanes, pulled over, and took off running, and was able to pull them off the wall as they were laying there going to jump.
And did you recognize the situation for what it was right away, or did it take a minute to comprehend it?
No, it was almost instant, because in that area, there's no reason to walk right there. There's an off-ramp on one side and an on-ramp on the other side, and that part that goes over 200 north, there's no reason to walk right there.
Got it.
Shelley, you, of course, being in your job, you're aware and you serve the public and you work with a lot of different people. This what you did to save this life, was it as much about who you are as a professional, or did it have more to do with who you are as a person?
I think a lot of both.
The personal part of this in your story is really heartbreaking. You've lost a couple of kids. You had a nephew that committed suicide. You easily could have done nothing here because you've been through enough. And we told the story of what happened to you in August. The fact that you stepped in and were able to physically encounter this young person and keep them from doing that is amazing. Do you know how she's doing now?
I know that she's safe. I've spoke with her mother, and she's doing good. She's safe.
Well, that's all you need, I guess, for now, right?
Right. That was what I needed.
You're an amazing person. I have to say, I don't know that I want to be too close to you in the next couple of minutes based on what's going on every few months with you. But God bless you that you're out there, because it seems like you're in the right place at the right time, and there's a reason you're there.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for being very, like, to see what's around you beyond just driving your bus on the road, you know, that extra, and I don't know if that's a mom thing, you know, always looking beyond just your task. You know how often we get locked in on what we're doing. I think about my own driving. You know, I wouldn't even necessarily see the things happening on the side of the road.
People live their lives with their face down, buried in screens.
Yeah,
and it's also one thing, Shelley, to be able to see it and comprehend it, but to actually control the situation, to be a professional,
to be
able to, in a split second, say, I'm going to cordon off the traffic, we're going to take care of this. That to me is something that I don't know every single person that even wanted to help
would know what to do there. Yeah.
I hope you get a chance to spend some time with this young lady down the road at some point. I hope she gets the help she needs. Sounds like she is. And you're able to have some time together, because certainly she deserves that, and it'd be a good thing for you too, I suppose. But yeah, all I can say is thanks for what you do every day, and let's remind people that there is help out there. The people at the end of the suicide prevention hotline are folks that know exactly how you feel. They're folks who've been there, done that, or love somebody who has, and there's no judgment. And if you ever find yourself in a position like that, or you're concerned about somebody in your life who you're afraid might take their own life, 800-273-TALK is the number, 800-273-8255. Keep it handy, hand it out, and spread the word, 800-273-TALK. And Shelley Monson, it's just an honor to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
You are the most valuable person on the planet. Hold the line if you can. Wow.
We have varying degrees of MVPPs, and I know they're all pretty special, but that's really... that beyond, that's above and beyond.
And to think about what she's gone through, she's a mother of five. She lost a baby to SIDS. She lost another child in a car accident. And she had a nephew that committed suicide. I mean, you know, nobody would ever judge her if she looked the other way, but wanted to avoid stuff like that. And to think she was shot at in August, and then this. Amazing.
I think what you got to remember, too, she's not a first responder.
Right.
She's a woman who is a bus operator. And I know from taking the bus, there are a lot of times that there is a tunnel vision for bus drivers to say, I got to get from one, from they're not even, they don't even care about what's happening.
Point A to point
B. Seats behind them. But to have the wherewithal to essentially become a first responder, it's pretty impressive.
It's miraculous. All right. It is 7:30, and let's take a quick break. We'll come back, get your headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Don't let me down. That steady old Chevy has seen me happy and seen me sad. We cruise through a lot of good times.
You like your Chevys, your Fords, your Hondas, your Hyundais. Your Toyotas, yeah, this should look like the auto show. The auto show's back. First looks tonight, opens tomorrow, and runs through President's Day on the 18th, 10 to 10 every day, 111th year of the Chicago Auto Show. Tony Guido, good dude, co-chair of the auto show, joins us now. Tony runs his own dealership, been in the car business forever. And this is the time, Tony, where you guys will start working this morning and you'll stop working 10 days from now.
Yeah, it's a great day. Today we hope to raise over $2 million for local charities, 18 local charities in Chicago, Black Tie Affair. You can still buy tickets tonight at the show, and then tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock the show opens, like you said, through President's Day. It'd be a great show.
Adult tickets, $13, 7 for seniors and kids, 7 to 12, and free if you're bringing kids under 7. 1,000 cars, trucks, SUVs, crossovers. What's new this year that you want us to see?
New this year, you're going to have the all-new Ford Explorer. Subaru Legacy is going to be new this year. The Mazda MX-5, Nissan Rogue, Toyota Supra. So there's every manufacturer debuting at the Chicago Auto Show. It's the first auto show of the year that kicks off the market, and it's great for Chicago.
And parking's only $10. There's nowhere in Chicago you can get parking for $10. People pay more than that to park at their house.
It's a great event. Yeah, it's a great event. Family event to go out. You can spend 4, 5, 6 hours at the show, and there's things to do at every display.
And you got plenty of food. You can spend the whole day there. Good family thing to do, as you said. Download the Chicago Auto Show mobile app. Stay up to date and walk around on the phone. It's a great way to take a tour of the place to know where you're going. Go ahead, Tony.
1,000 cars. I mean, all makes, all models, colors, sizes. I mean, price ranges. It's just a great event to get out of the cold and get into the warm showroom of the Chicago Auto Show.
Tony, you having your own dealership, Arlington Heights Ford, and you've done a lot of different things with the automobile industry in the Chicagoland area. You know, the auto show always gets us to think about this being a status check for the industry. Where are we at? How are people consuming cars and automobiles, and also some of the issues that are presenting itself? Do you guys talk about that stuff as well and sort of where, kind of give me a gut check of how the car business is?
Well, we talk a lot about technology. The public wants technology. We talk about the 17 million car industry, and it's still strong. I mean, people are looking for innovation. They're looking for electric vehicles. They're looking for autonomous vehicles. So there's something for everybody, and there's always news out there for every manufacturer to, you know, be a part of it.
Great talking to you. I know you're plenty busy. We'll see you out at the auto show.
Great. Hope to see you there. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Tony Guido, co-chairman of the Chicago Auto Show. The Chicagoland Auto Show starts with First Look tonight. You ever been to First Look? It's cool.
I have not, no.
Yeah, it's cool.
I have been to First Look.
It's good?
Yeah, it's a good
I don't have the clout that the Sandbergs and the Cochrans have.
Yeah, it's black tie, too, so you have to wear a tuxedo.
And I don't have a tuxedo. I can go to Genghis. Is Genghis still around?
Yeah, you can rent. Yeah, you can absolutely rent. It's a lot of pre-car shopping that goes on there as well.
Nice.
All right, I'm going to go through this quickly here and not do it justice, and we'll have time to do it justice later. But before you get to work this morning, you need to hear the story. Jeff Bezos is still the richest man in the world, and still he gives away half in his divorce settlement. And he wrote an amazing social post yesterday after quite a few days. I'll give you the highlights. Bezos wrote, "Something unusual happened to me yesterday. I was made an offer I couldn't refuse. The top people at the National Enquirer at least thought that. Rather than capitulate to extortion and blackmail, I've decided to publish exactly what they sent me, despite the personal cost and embarrassment. AMI owns the National Enquirer. It's run by David Pecker, who recently entered into an immunity deal with the Department of Justice related to their role in the so-called catch-and-kill process on behalf of President Trump, which they have admitted to, that they would buy stories, negative stories about Donald Trump when he was a civilian and after he was a politician, catch those stories, pay for them, and kill them. Federal investigators and legitimate media," Bezos continues, "have suspected and proved that Mr. Becker used the Enquirer and AMI for political reasons. So when they told me they had intimate text messages from me that they would publish in the National Enquirer, and they did, I engaged investigators to learn how those texts were obtained. I hired to lead the investigation Gavin DeBecker." Gavin DeBecker is a very famous PI. Anytime you hear a big celebrity case, Gavin DeBecker is usually at the head.
It's a great PI name. Gavin DeBecker.
private investigator.
I asked him to prioritize protecting my time since I have other things to do and to proceed with whatever budget he needed. Of course, you got $140 billion. Yeah. Spend what you want to spend. Just give me what I want. So several days ago, Bezos continues, an AMI leader advised us that Mr. Pecker, David Pecker, is apoplectic about our investigation. For reasons still to be better understood, he has close ties to the Saudi royal family, and that seems to be a particularly sensitive nerve. Obviously, there's been speculation about Trump's ties to Saudi Arabia. Trump obviously tied to Pecker, as we mentioned. This is where it starts to get particularly ugly. My lawyers argued that AMI has no right to publish photos, which they said they had, since any person holds a copyright to their own photos. And here's the teaching moment, the teachable moment. Dave, if you were going to blackmail me, let's say you had compromising pictures of me.
Which I do.
And if you were going to use those and blackmail me, I would say the one thing you wouldn't want to do is put that threat in writing.
Yeah, that's not a good idea because that creates a paper trail.
That's exactly right. A guy named Martin Singer, Marty, if you will, litigation counsel for Mr. DeBecker, received an email from the chief content officer and the boss at AMI, a guy named Dylan Howard. Here's the letter. Marty, I'm leaving the office for the night. I'll be available on my cell. Here's the number. However, in the interest of expediting the situation with the Washington Post poised to publish the unsubstantiated rumors of the National Enquirer's initial report, I want to describe to you the photos obtained during our news gathering. In addition to the below-the-belt selfie, otherwise colloquially known as the D-pic, the Enquirer obtained further 9 images, including a Mr. Bezos face selfie at what appears to be a business meeting. Ms. Sanchez, this is his mistress, it's not news anymore. Ms. Sanchez, a photograph of her smoking a cigar in what appears to be a simulation of sex. A shirtless Mr. Bezos holding his phone in his left hand while wearing his wedding ring and wearing tight cargo pants. A selfie of Mr. Bezos fully clothed, a full-length scantily clad body shot with short trunks, a naked selfie in a bathroom, and on and on and on. The bottom line here is the National Enquirer's parent company, AMI, threatened Jeff Bezos that unless he would put out a statement saying there is no political tie or reason to believe there's one between the National Enquirer, the choices they make, and the protection they are alleged to have given Donald Trump, unless Bezos agreed to that statement, they would put out these photos, embarrass and humiliate him, and continue to thrash him. Why you would put that in writing, I mean, obviously you shouldn't do it, but why you would put that in writing is absolutely stunningly stupid to me. So what Bezos has done here is he's admitted to all of this, and he's admitted to the existence of these embarrassing photographs. But now if the Enquirer goes ahead and publishes them, they prove everything that's placed in here. So by way of his coming out publicly first, he set up a firewall for himself. How this ties to Donald Trump and the Saudis remains to be seen, but you have to wonder why David Pecker would engage and have the American media company, parent company, National Enquirer, engage in a cooperation agreement with the feds if you are so upset about this investigation that Bezos is continuing. And the secret safe that has been referenced in these Enquirer stories many times, which supposedly encloses details not just on Trump but other people that have been part of this catch-and-kill thing, remains a mystery. Much more to come on this. But we live in a country where the richest man in the world was blackmailed by the National Enquirer.
Allegedly. The only issue with that story to me, Steve, is just that he says it's extortion. They're going to say, all we did was describe what we have. So it's the...
Well, but describe what we had. Thing. Describe what we had and said, if you don't, we will show.
Right.
There's your extortion.
Right.
When we come back, we'll clean our palates and play the match game at 312-981-7200. We need two callers, John?
Yes.
Two contestants. We have a celebrity panel, 312-981-7200. We'll play the match game next. All right, John DeCoste is here, musical director of the show and host of the match game, John.
Hit the post on that. I like that. Right on the post. I love it.
He does his own arrangements. John, we have Mike and Diana on the phone.
Mike and Diana.
Who'd you like to go to first?
Here's a little ditty about Mike and Diana.
That's a different show.
Oh, sorry.
Mike or Diana, who would you like to go to first?
Let's go to Mike.
Let's go to Mike.
Ladies first.
Mike was on hold longer.
I think you asked me.
Yeah. I know, but I mean, I'm just saying.
This is weird. Okay.
This is like, well, I always have to help.
It's better for Diana because Diana knows what the number is she has to
when
get.
When Patrick plows through the door in front of Catherine and I'm always like, dude, ladies first.
You're teaching chivalry isn't dead. It's just on life support.
John DeCasas passed that.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I am great. John?
Good morning, Mike. You know how to play the game? John. You do know how to play the game, yes?
I do.
Good.
I do.
Okay. Here we go. Don't give me your answer until I ask for it. And here's the question. Just fill in the blank. Mary Sandberg grilled outside yesterday when the temp was 8 degrees. Today she is taking Pat and the kids for a blank. I'll repeat that again. Mary Sandberg grilled outside yesterday when the temp was 8 degrees. Today, she is taking Pat and the kids for a blank. Hold on, Mike. I'll ask you. Make sure I get all of my celebrities in. Everybody in?
I'm locked in.
Everybody locked in? Yes, Joe.
Locked in the newsroom?
Yes.
Newsroom locked in.
Okay. Mr. Grzanich, yes? Here we go.
Yes, locked in.
Mike, give us your answer.
A boat ride.
A boat ride.
Mary Sandberg grilled outside. That's a good answer. That's good. Boat ride. Let's start with Mary Sandberg on that one.
I am going to be taking them for a spray tan. Together?
Okay. Now, see, I hesitate to say you're wrong because it's about you, but you're wrong.
That's so funny.
She does that every other Friday.
I do, right. I actually am taking Catherine for a spray tan tonight because she has a dance tomorrow.
Oh.
So, this isn't a lie.
Dave Ennett.
Swim in the lake.
Swim in the lake. That's good. That's good. Justin, swim in the lake.
Swim in the lake, Dave.
Wow. Wow. Hey. Hey.
Mary Vanderbilt.
Wow. Swim in Lake Michigan. Yay.
Ding, ding, ding. Oh, Steve.
A flu shot.
that's, what? I believe I have bad. Number four here. A 10-mile hike and lake swim.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Okay.
After last night.
Joe and Mary.
Polar plunge.
Mary said a lake swim.
Oh, Mary did? Yes. Okay.
What about
polar plunge?
Polar wow. plunge.
Polar plunge, that's five.
That's wow.
But did Pete say spray tan? No.
What did Pete say?
Wow.
He's still worried about the, you know.
Oh, that?
He's
sure.
mad because I made burgers, because they weren't veggie. So.
Five. Mike, don't worry about it. Hang on.
But Mike, well, hold on. Mike, that's an all-time record.
Well,
that's like five contests. That's five.
Oh, wait a minute. No, he said boat ride.
Yeah, on the
you
Lake
said
Michigan,
swim.
Right?
I'd
yeah.
say
yeah,
those
on the
are
water.
Those are similar.
Judges?
I'm with
ding,
you.
Ding, ding.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's okay with me. Yeah. I don't want to get yelled at by Mary again.
Yeah, I would.
Did anybody say boat ride?
No, but swim in a lake. You have a hike and a bike. That's all in the water.
It's in the water.
Yeah,
I'll take it. Very good, Mike.
And a boat ride.
Okay. I think they're different.
Wow,
things,
super lenient.
Yeah. Two different things.
Let's go to Diana here. Imagine the leniency she's about to get.
Yeah.
Diana, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Diana. Here's John.
Hi, Diana. You know how to play the game. Yes. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, hang on for your answer until I ask for it. Here we go. The temp today with the wind chill is 50 degrees warmer than last Wednesday. Dave Ennett came to work with only his blank on.
Ah, Dave Ennett came to work on a super cold day with only his blank on.
The temp today with the wind chill was 50 degrees warmer than last Wednesday. Dave Ennett came to work with only his blank on.
I'm locked in.
Everybody in? Everybody in?
Yep. Yep.
Everybody locked in? Newsroom locked in?
Locked in.
Diana, give me your answer.
Coat.
With only his coat on. All right, Diana, hold the line. Hold on. Well, we can only be so lenient. I think we're clear on that. All right, start with who? Pull yourself together, Gene Rayburn.
I'm going to go ahead and go.
Mary Sandberg.
I said his PJs.
Oh, PJs, very good.
Yay. Oh, good.
Dave.
Not so good.
Helmet. My football helmet.
Helmet. Yes, very good. Very good.
I went radio. I went headphones.
Headphones. Good call.
Oh. Headphones.
Good
headphones.
Call. Very good.
Headphones. Yeah. Twins.
Mary Vanderbilt upstairs.
Purple boxers. Purple boxers. That's kind of like PJs.
That's very close. Very close.
Mary, me too. Let's stay out of Dave's underwear.
Joe Romano.
Buckthorn.
That's a good one. That is a good one. Yeah, Steve Grzanich.
Okay, we're thinking alike on this one. A coat.
A coat.
Oh, God!
Shut up.
All right, now,
very good.
Since I'm also the judge,
yes,
we'll give her one for coat because coat was her answer, and we'll give her one for pajamas because that's also clothing.
It's a clothing.
Which is kind of like coat, which is kind of like a
boxers.
Boat, which is kind of like in a lake. We'll give her one for boxers.
Okay.
5-3.
5'3", good.
Because headphones falls into accessories.
Yeah. Accessories.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Right,
but
right,
good,
right.
Good.
5'3", which means Mike's a big winner. Mike's a big winner. Yeah, there's prizes for
He's
you
gonna
too,
get
Diana. Hold on.
An apt gift card and a Lou Malnati's pizza. Diana and Mike can fight over who gets which one.
We have started a new trend here. 5 and 3. Okay, a bit of a stretch. But 8 answers correct? We've never done that. That's a month's worth of match game. Crazy.
Quit while we're ahead.
Yes.
Coming I say up, double down.
Coming up, stories that matter. Steve Gozanich is next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should.
I welcome my fellow moron. Moron Entertainment is where you get more on entertainment from morons. Good morning, Dean. That's how I feel.
Oh, that was you, John Coffin.
Sorry. I apologize.
Completely agree.
And don't forget.
Wait, am I the only one hearing Dean?
Yeah, I don't
hear
Dean.
Yeah, we don't hear him.
Oh, that's because I'm not hearing him either.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When the time comes and Dean joins us, I just want to remind you that we had a French person on this morning, and the listeners were demanding some French discussions.
So, right. So you really can't hear Dean?
No, I can't hear Dean. Is Dean joining us this morning, Joe?
He sent notes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. We have a Dean issue. Engineer Bob's coming in now.
I almost just swore.
Oh boy!
Yes, he's on the phone from New York. That is my fault for not reminding people.
Are we calling him because he's not?
Yeah, usually he calls, but that's okay. We can call him. That's my fault though. I didn't remind the team.
She got that information last night when she was in 60 mph crosswinds.
Right.
Cooking burgers on her grill.
That's right.
So I'm shaking my head in disgust.
One too many macaroons this morning.
I know. I ate 5.
Oh, my God, Mary.
I know.
We do have a bit of breaking show business news, Steve, that you told me about a moment ago.
Yes, and it is sad news. British actor Albert Finney has died.
Oh. One of my favorite actors.
One of mine as well. For people who don't know him,
Aaron Brockovich,
Tom Jones, Skyfall,
Bourne Ultimatum,
recently.
Skyfall.
So many good movies. Oscar nominated, but never won an Academy Award. He was 82. His family says he passed away peacefully after a short illness.
Well, God bless. Yeah. Dean Richards joins us live from New York. This was all Sandberg's fault as usual. Dean and I are always buttoned up. Sandberg's usually the one dropping the ball. Can we agree on that, Dean?
And I am actually in Los Angeles, but that's a whole other...
Wow. Are you in the New York part of L.A.?
I did see some garbage in the street, so it did make me feel like I was in New York, yes.
Why are you in L.A.?
I'm in the heart of Hollywood. I'm at Universal Studios in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of fun.
That's an early call.
You know, it's not so much fun for you because you're jaded.
Dean, I know it's early there, but we had a gentleman that owns a French pastry here in Illinois, pastry shop.
Oh.
And so this morning.
I love the French pastries. I love.
You know what he brought in? Macarons.
Croissants.
No croissant. He brought macarons.
I think they're macarons.
French toast? Did he bring French toast?
No.
French fries?
No.
Isn't that the president of France?
It's also a tasty pastry.
That's going to be a category on the Moron Awards, by the way. The best tasty pastry of the year.
Tasty pastry.
The nominees are.
He is the president. President Macron. He is also a guest on the show who brought the Macron.
That's very nice. You know, we have a very, very strong French contingency in our audience. I had no idea until we started doing our on the mark French accents.
I don't know that it's French people so much as it's people who go, I feel much better about my own life when I hear these two idiots doing their French accent.
It doesn't really matter why people like it.
Yeah, I suppose. While we were trying to contact you, you being in L.A., Albert Finney passed away. And,
that's sad.
Yeah, one of my favorite actors. I don't know how you felt about him, but I always liked everything he did.
I always liked everything that he did. Amazing actor, colorful, wonderful, amazing career. I actually had not seen the obit come through. How old was he?
83. 82? 82.
Yes, 82. I'm confirming 82.
82.
Oh, he was Scrooge?
Yes, he was.
1970.
Matter of fact, yeah.
One of the many actors who played Ebenezer Scrooge through the years, but wasn't he nominated for an Oscar for, I think, Tom Jones?
Yep, that's right.
Tom Jones, is that right?
Yeah. Miller's Crossing, Aaron Brockovich, as I mentioned. And I thought he was great at the Bourne Ultimatum, and those were just one scene stealer kind of, you know, jobs. Yeah. So anyway, Albert Finney.
Also in a fairly recent James Bond movie, also
Skyfall.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, he was in Skyfall.
Right.
Good memory by you. And he also played Oliver, the Brady's next door neighbor kid. I mean, that's how good an actor he was. People didn't know that was him.
Wow.
Yeah.
I totally would not have recognized him.
Yeah.
If you look at the eyes, I think you can see in the eyes that it was the same. In those
he doesn't wear the wrong glasses today.
No. But the range is amazing. You know what they used to say about him? Meryl Streep can kiss my butt. That's what they used to say about him. That's how good he was.
That's a beautiful tribute right there.
Well, you and I are known for our tributes to famous people that have passed.
You know what? People stop me in the street and they go, Dean, if indeed that's your real name. what I love is when somebody passes away and you guys do an obit, could you possibly do it in a French accent? That would make it even better.
I think this started when Johnny Carson died, and we did a tribute to Johnny Carson that somehow turned out to be all about us.
Yeah, we had every intention of doing a very nice, reverent tribute and obituary, but somehow it went off the tracks. I know people will find that hard to believe with us.
Now, was that in French accent, or was that just straight?
That was actually in English.
That was way before the French accent.
Yeah. All right, so did you tell me why you're in L.A.? You're at Universal Studios doing what?
I am going to be interviewing the voice cast today for How to Train Your Dragon 3. This is a really popular.
Was that fake enthusiasm? Or you actually like it?
How to Train Your Dragon is a huge franchise.
Hmm.
Super popular.
And there are really big stars.
America Ferrara is one of the voices.
We like her.
Jay Baruchel, Craig Ferguson is one of the voices.
Wow, I love Craig. Tell Fergie we said hi and call him Fergie. Yeah. He loves when people do that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I saw the movie last night. It's delightful, really, really fun, and looking forward to talking with the cast today, and maybe I'll have time to go on the Transformers ride.
This is what's so great about your job. It's such a scam. Television is such a scam because this is an animated film with voice actors. You could do this from your house in your underpants on the phone, but yet you're flown to L.A., you're put up in a swanky hotel, and you're hanging out with big stars and running up an expense account. I salute the work you're doing.
You know, it's funny you should mention being on the phone in my underpants.
Kind of like right now?
I don't want to spoil anybody's breakfast, but...
Dean, are you going to get to talk to Kristen Wiig?
Kristen is not going to be at the interview, unfortunately, today. So I actually was looking forward to that. F. Murray Abraham is also in the voice cast.
Why are you mad at Murray Abraham?
When he said F, yeah.
Yeah, what's this F. Murray Abraham stuff? I mean, what did he do to you?
You may remember him because he was referenced in the song Abraham, Martin, and John many years ago.
I don't think that's the same one, F. Murray. The Grammys, the BAFTAs, and some movie reviews. In a moment, more coming up with Dean, a moron live from L.A.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 97.
We go back live to Los Angeles where Dean's in his underpants and getting ready for a big day.
Breaking story, legendary actor and 5-time Academy Award nominee Albert Finney has passed away.
Oh, I wish we had had that earlier. Make a note of that here. All right, I got a Grammys question for you. We were just talking about this off the air. Ariana Grande is very angry. She's tiny and she's angry. What's she angry about?
Just Yeah, just ask Pete Davidson about that. She got into a conflict with former Chicagoan Ken Ehrlich, who has produced the Grammy show for years, decades, I think. She wanted to perform her new song that's coming off of her album that drops this weekend. And they did not want the new song. According to reports, they agreed to make it part of a medley, but the Grammy people wanted to pick what else would be in the medley, and Ariana Grande didn't like that, so she said that she is not going to perform at the Grammys. But some new developments now, and apparently she has been, you know, touted in billboards and much of their advertising that Ariana Grande would be performing at the Grammys. So the fact that she's pulling out is kind of a big deal. But now it's also been announced that Kendrick Lamar will not be performing at the Grammys. Drake will not be performing at the Grammys.
In support of her, or all separate deals?
Apparently all separate deals. It's not really entirely clear why they've decided. And what's interesting is that all three of them are nominated for Album of the Year, Record of the Year, and Song of the Year. Those are, you know, all the major awards. So they're not entirely clear on whether or not they're even going to be at the Grammy Awards, but they are definitely not going to perform at the Grammy Awards.
I'm also just been told Slim Whitman will not be at the Grammys. Zamfir will not be at the Grammys, nor will his pan flute.
Well, I hope somebody's playing pan flute this year.
Weird Al Yankovic will not be at the Grammys this year. However, his cousin Strange Bob Yankovic will be there. Is there a delay between here and L.A.?
I think I need to put my pants on. I'm not understanding much of this. Lady Gaga is going to be performing at the Grammys. Gee, I wonder what song she's going to sing. Cardi B is going to be performing. Travis Scott, Shawn Mendes, Janelle Monáe, Kacey Musgraves will be performing at the Grammys.
I love Janelle Monáe. She is just strange as the day is long, but she's a great actress, frankly. And a great entertainer. And I think the only reason she's not more famous is people think she's hard to be around. but I like her.
She couldn't be more delightful. I've interviewed her several times, and at least with me, she's always been very, very nice, sweet.
Yeah, I think she's great.
Yeah.
The BAFTAs are coming up. I think that's this weekend, too. This is the British Oscars. I think this is maybe the most entertaining show there is.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a little less reserved than some of the award shows that we have here.
It's a bunch of drunken Brits.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Yeah, you know, nobody can fault that. The movies that are nominated for Best Film for BAFTA Awards are BlacKkKlansman, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, and A Star is Born. But they also have a category of Best British film, strictly British film. And Bohemian Rhapsody is nominated. That's got a little bit of controversy because yesterday the people from the BAFTAs took the director's name off of the nomination. Bryan Singer was being accused of a sexual assault. They say until that's resolved, they don't think it's appropriate to have his name as part of their organization. The movie The Favorite is nominated. You Were Never Really Here.
The History of Potatoes, is that in there? These are all British films.
Right. Right. Oh, I Wish I Had Better Teeth. Remember that?
Yes.
Goodbye Fish and Chips.
Goodbye Fish and Chips is one of my favorites this year.
Petula Clark.
Right. But a movie that got no attention, unfortunately, when it opened because it's so good is Stan and Ollie with Chicago's John C. Reilly, who is so great in this movie. And it's a really sweet story about the later years of Laurel and Hardy. But that's also, it's nominated for Best British Film of the Year. So,
Dean, will that be released?
It's already released.
It is?
It's been released for over a month, yeah. It got zero attention.
You're kidding!
John C. Reilly was nominated for a Golden Globe, deservedly so. But it opened in a smattering of theaters and went away.
That's the 16-screen smattering.
I've seen clips of it, and it's both of them do such a great job.
Yeah,
and it looks really well done.
Is it on demand yet?
You know what? That I don't know. I don't think it is. I think that it may still be in a few theaters. But if you see this movie available any place, watch it because it's so beautifully done. Oh, highly recommend that one.
All right, just give me grades on these because we're crazy short on time. What Men Want? Give me a Dean grade.
That's a Taraji P. Henson movie. Dean's list B on that one. Nice romantic comedy.
Lego Movie 2, the second part.
If you like the first Lego movie, same kind of vibe to this one. I gave it Dean's List B+.
Cold Pursuit. This is the Liam Neeson movie?
That's the Liam Neeson movie, which is very good. It's a very dark comedy. It's more like a Coen Brothers movie than any of Liam Neeson's Taken movies. And I gave it a Dean's List B+ also. I'm so curious to see if people are going to go and see this, given the Liam Neeson controversy this week about his comments from a rape attack 40 years ago and him wanting to go on a revenge tear against a black person. Because a friend of his was raped by a black person. He was brutally honest in revealing this and confessing this. And a lot of controversy about it. So I wonder, I hope people go see the movie because it's actually a really good movie.
Okay. You have back for your show on Sunday?
I will be back talking with Tracy Morgan.
Oh, that's great. I hope he doesn't make you pregnant.
Well, I'll take all the necessary precautions.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
See you guys.
That's live from L.A. That's Moron Dean. Dean DeMoron. Dean Richards. Jisoo Ki, who you may remember from Windy City Live, she is going to be on the show here for a bit coming up. And she's right now waiting in the PPG Paint Screen Room wondering why no one's talking to her. So we'll get to that. The headlines next on 720 WGN. Not exaggerating when I said it's one of my favorite movies in the last year. It was a highly regarded documentary about Fred Rogers. Mm-hmm. And the documentary, which has largely been, I don't want to say ignored, but certainly it hasn't gotten the attention by the award shows I thought it would
get. No, it got snubbed for an Oscar.
Is the story of Fred Rogers. And the tie we have is the guest that's about to come on the show.
Nicholas Ma is the producer of Won't You Be My Neighbor, which is the story of Fred Rogers and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which this documentary, which up to this point it was released in theaters and it also, you know, is on demand. It's now coming to Channel 11 here in Chicago tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, which is awesome. That's for everyone to see. Nicholas Ma joins us on the line now. Nicholas, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
So glad to be here.
By the way, you made a wonderful film.
Thank you so much. We feel so gratified that it's spoken to so many people. You know, you never know when you make a film about someone that's been out of the public eye for a while, whether their story and their ideas will still resonate.
You know, I'm 57 years old, so I missed Mr. Rogers. I was a Captain Kangaroo guy. And
fair enough.
Yeah, but my daughter, when she was little, lived for Mr. Rogers, and so did I. So I got wrapped up in Fred Rogers and then followed the career throughout and did a little of the back channeling and then you know, followed him through. So I thought I knew everything. And then I saw your movie. I thought you told a great story. You really did, and I highly recommend it.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, I think, you know, it's so rare to be able to take a documentary all over the country, and we feel lucky to have been able to do that and find that audiences react the same way, saying, you know, this is a message that reminds us of what we all share as people and what unifies us as a country, you know, and I think that's, you know, it's important to have those things and to have them in our consciousness.
I want to talk about some of the storylines, of course, and the I think a complex documentary about the character and the man. But before we do that, this has come to Channel 11, which I always love about documentaries. I mean, obviously here in Chicago, Mr. Rogers had a huge following at WTTW and PBS and Channel 11 here in Chicago. Why make the effort to give it to public TV and to have it be free to everybody on Channel 11?
Well, you know, I really want to thank HBO for that as well. I mean, we spoke to them about it and to our distributor at Focus, and I think all of us felt like public television is such a core part of Mr. Rogers' story and it's such a core part of who we are as a country. You know, it raised so many of us, right, during those hours where, you know, a parent was making dinner or just out of the house. So I think to make sure that it could have its debut on HBO and PBS at the same time was really important to us from the very beginning. And we're just so very, very grateful that that all worked out.
Jisoo Ki is here, our friend Jisoo Ki, who's seen the movie. Sandberg, have you seen it?
I have seen the movie.
John DeCosta, have you seen it?
Meow meow show, meow meow, really good.
Quite impressive, I have to say. But Nicholas, I thought one of the sweetest things about the movie was you actually showed again and again and again in a number of different ways why kids meant so much to Fred Rogers and why Fred Rogers meant so much to kids. There's a scene in particular in the movie that describes how fascinated kids were to see this guy on the TV box in real life in person and how starstruck they were, but how emotional and how Mr. Rogers was touched way before it was cool to be fair and decent and kind to kids with special needs, which, you know, I have a personal, you know, tied to. I don't know. It's a very, very touching film. As again, I continue to laud you for the work you've done, but I really hope everybody sees it.
Oh, thank you for mentioning that. I mean, I think part of what's so wonderful is that he captivated us as children, and we sort of forget because he was so quiet about about the work he was doing. He didn't call attention to the fact that he brought kids of all stripes on the show from all different backgrounds, and as you said, kids with special needs, and he didn't call attention to it. It was just a part of life. It was part of life in the neighborhood. And I think that as we go back and look at it, the sort of there's a little bit of vertigo to think, gosh, this is what I was watching, or this is what right. my child was watching when they were growing up, and you realize there's more depth to it and more difficulty to it too. I think, you know, Fred struggled. It was not an easy thing to do, and I think you know, one doubts oneself when one takes on a mission that isn't necessarily so popular or so obvious at a moment in history.
I'm wondering, too, if the mission came from, I love the insight that you provided on his childhood. It wasn't exactly the happiest of childhoods, and he really was bullied a lot, even though he came from a privileged background. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think there's the component of his childhood where, as you said, you know, despite coming from a privileged background, he didn't find it so easy, you know, got called Fat Freddy and all sorts of other things. The second piece of it, which we didn't get a chance to touch on in the documentary, but we interview her, his sister, Lainey, was adopted and was a decade younger than he. And so he got to watch a child grow up even while he was still a child. And I think that that's another piece of this insight into how he was able to remain connected with who children that with a child's mind while still growing up himself. So
Nicholas, like everybody in this studio with a connection, we all have a connection from watching Mr. Rogers. You do as well as being a part of the show in a small way. Talk about your experience with Fred Rogers.
Sure. I mean, there's something great. I had the great fortune to be on the show twice, once when I was 6 and once when I was 16 with my father, who's the Charles Yeoman is interviewed in the documentary. And I remember having loved Fred as a kid. You know, you see someone who's, you know, 10 inches tall and in black and white, and all of a sudden you're there and he's in person. He's 6 feet tall and in three dimensions. And that's really overwhelming. But there's something incredible about he just understood that kids find themselves and find relationships in their own time. And he gave me the space to come to him when I was ready, and I feel so grateful, and grateful that 30 years later I could turn around and come back to that subject with a fresh set of eyes, and you know, really excited to have collaborated with Morgan and Karen on making this film.
As an organization nut, even as a child, everything about how he walked into his house and changed the shirt and changed the shoes and put them back in exact spots, that really spoke to me.
Oh, my God. Emma said, this is your dream, man.
This is how I want to live. Look at that. Put the shoes in the same spot. It was, like, perfect for me.
You know, Nicholas, sometimes it's overgeneralizing, but I think if you have a difficult childhood, you grow up understanding how important it is to be kind to kids. And one of the things that I think Mr. Rogers deserves the most respect for is he never condescended to kids. He talked to kids in a manner that they could understand, but never treated them like they were beneath him in any way. And I always thought that was one of the main connective points that he had.
Yeah, I think that's such a wonderful point. You know, there, when he was on the air for less than 6 months, Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. And we go into this a little bit in the documentary. Fred was so moved to think that kids around the country were going to watch the funeral on Saturday, and parents wouldn't necessarily have the language to know how to talk about it, that he spent two sleepless nights putting together a presentation for the entire country, which aired for everyone, on what this means, to help kids figure out in their own language what assassination means, what this means for our country, what your parents might be experiencing right now, what we're all experiencing right now. And I think that that takes such guts to say, I'm not going to shy away from the difficult topics, but I'm going to instead frame them within the context and the language of a child. And as you said, not to condescend, but to explain.
Look for the helpers is one of the coolest things, right? I mean, in an era where, you've got school shootings, you got kids are afraid, you got helicopter parents, you got, what do I say to my kids so they understand? To say to a kid, look for the helpers, is so simple and so profound. It's just one of the many things Fred Rogers did. So tomorrow night, Channel 11, what time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, and Won't You Be My Neighbor is out and available everywhere. It's going to be tough to top it, Nicholas, but when you do, come back on the show.
I look forward to it.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Nicholas.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Highest grossing biographic documentary of all time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, it deserved to be. It's great.
Yeah, and snubbed by the Oscars. The Oscars has a problem with documentaries that are in theaters. They're always like, oh, that's too mainstream. They did it to Hoop Dreams. They've done it to others. For some reason, this year of all years, you would think this would be the number one documentary.
And you would think with the change in the Oscar-based voters that it would have kicked. Well, you know, whatever. It's
how
great.
You snubbed that? I don't understand how you snubbed a film.
I'm going to send him a trophy. We'll go behind the scenes with our friend G, find out what crime she may be involved in, and also make her a special guest on a match game coming up here in a little bit. Hi to everybody on CLTV who joins us now, as they do every morning at 9. And we're back with Steve in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
this is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
What is this?
Because it's windy.
Wind Cries Mary.
Oh, I get the Wind Cries Mary, but this is who depressing artist is this?
It's creepy.
Oh, it's Hendrix.
Hendrix, come on, creepy.
Yeah,
it's
like
creepy. A famous song.
No, it's creepy.
People don't know this, but he's singing in this song about someone in his life that was grilling burgers in 50 mile per hour wind.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's in the liner notes.
The Wind Cries Mary.
Yeah. So that's one of those art limits.
I should come to rehearsal.
Life.
It all makes sense now. Jisuke is here, and
she would have grilled burgers outside, just so you know.
I don't know that that's true.
She's a foodie.
I would have ordered Grubhub.
There you go. I love the story, and tell me if I've got it right.
Okay.
You get hired to do social media for Windy City Live, not on air, right?
Oh, it's even better than that.
What were you doing?
I was just supposed to be a producer, helping out, and then my executive producer thought that she saw some talent in me.
Right, big smile, looking good on camera.
Mary? Yes.
That was Mary. I'm sorry, Marlene.
Phillip. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. So, you know, it could be an interesting addition to the show. Suddenly, you're not only a support, you're not just a social media person. Now you're the social media person on the show.
Yes, initially I was hired to help out with the news segment, which is the Hot Topics.
Which, by the way, means, you know, giving credit to other people for the work you've done. So you ended up on the show. You did the show for a couple of years. You leave the show. What are you doing now?
I am with the Chicago Sun-Times.
Okay.
And I have a series called The Grid, and there's a written component, but the main part is a video component. So just trying to update the webpage and do these great videos on all of Chicago neighborhoods. Now, of course, there's 77 community areas, but of course, we know close to 250 pocket neighborhoods. And of course, every neighborhood wants to then carve out an additional neighborhood. Yeah, right. You know how Chicago is.
Good job security.
Yeah.
What's going on? I haven't gotten all the neighborhoods yet.
I'm trying.
There's a bit of a controversy over one of the ones she did.
What did I do?
She doesn't know this, but a member of our staff was at one of the locations that she was at, and they were asked to be a part of it, and they said no.
Why would they ask to be a part? Were they hiding something?
They were at Half Acre.
Oh,
and
were they supposed to be working?
No, he was a patron there. He could come in. He and his wife.
Is this somebody who works here?
Yes, Pete Zimmerman.
Oh,
our producer Pete.
Pete, they just let me in the door.
Yeah, he let you in the door, and so he.
Pete, you want to come in and defend yourself?
What did Pete do wrong? They asked, no, G and the crew asked him to be a part of.
Oh, they asked Pete to be
right. He and Molly.
I try to be nice because some people don't want to be on camera.
And you want
some
real people.
Right, and some people are in the witness protection program. You never know who they're running from.
Yeah. So, Pete, why did you tell G, leave me alone and get that damn camera out of my face? I believe that's a quote of trivia.
No, no.
I think they have footage of the hand right in front of it.
She was very nice, but I you know, you see people on camera, and
you didn't want to be one of those people.
Yeah, like if you're on, you see like Chicago Tonight or like Check Please, and you see people in the background shoveling food in their face.
How many times have you been annoyed, Pete, at somebody saying, you know what, please, I don't want that microphone in my face, or I don't want to be a part of this segment, and you're like, I'm just trying to do my job, and then here you are on the finally getting asked on the other side, and you're like, no comment, please.
But it's different when you ask. When you ask, they should say yes.
Right, they should absolutely.
But you know
say
how
yes.
Pete is. He probably didn't even say no. He probably just shook his head because he like does that thing like a little kid that doesn't want to eat. No, like.
Well, it's like one of those things where because I, you know, like I'm a fan, so you know, you saw what was happening. I'm like, oh my god, here it comes.
If
they're gonna come over and ask us to be on, I'm like, I'm gonna start sweating.
Molly was there, Molly.
And my wife Molly was there, and she's like, no, they're not gonna ask. We're just sitting here.
Does Molly enjoy the attention?
No, she.
Yeah. So you're holding Molly down.
I think I'm holding Molly down. Yes, and plus, I didn't like have a good outfit on.
I guarantee I approached you guys because you were a good-looking couple. That's why.
Yeah.
You know,
she's not going to put the hideous people on.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So how upset were you? Are you willing to forgive Pete now?
You recall Pete, the incident.
You know, I've been holding on to this for a very long time.
But now you're ready to let go.
Losing sleep over this.
How often does that happen?
Maybe.
See, how often does this happen when people say, I don't want to be on camera?
It happens. Maybe a third of the time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's higher than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Well, I think just because, you know, people are kind of caught off guard and it's, people get nervous about it. And there's a lot of complications, especially if you think about social media. Maybe they told somebody they weren't going to go out, or maybe they went out with someone else instead of the person. So there's a lot of layers.
Pete could have been with his side piece and not his wife.
Right.
Yeah, I'm always careful with couples because you just never know.
Is that how you busted Jeff Bezos?
Yes.
That's how you found him?
Yeah.
Well, so
little people.
Since you saw it happening, you knew this piece was going to come out, Pete, and I know you and Molly, so you probably stalked G's pieces until you saw the Half Acre one. And then did you watch it and criticize the people that were
in it? Yeah, I felt it was lackluster without our performance.
That's very Pete.
Well,
that's very producer.
Yeah.
How do you think I feel?
Saying no.
Don't ask me to be in it. Do a better job of it.
Yeah. A show of hands on the show, who would say yes or no? Steve, you're a no. I know you'd say no if somebody
asked. Well, no, it's a professional courtesy thing. If somebody comes up to you.
You would say no.
I would say no.
Yeah. So that's one no, you're two right. No's for Pete. No for Pete.
You'd
I would say not.
Yes.
I would not say
you
yes.
You would absolutely say yes.
I would
yes.
absolutely not say
I don't
yes.
Agree with them.
Not Dave, only would I say yes, but my daughter was in one of G's pieces.
Oh, yes. Right.
There you go.
Yes, Lindsay.
For what neighborhood?
North Center.
North Center.
That's her neighborhood.
That's her neighborhood.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
We were at Lachette's. A really nice bar where you can get great German steins full of beer. But, you know, I would have guaranteed that I would have approached you, Mary, for sure. Because if I'm in a place like a beer place, which is, I try mm-hmm. as best as I can to kind of give a better image of what's going on in terms of if there's a lot of dudes drinking beer.
Sure. Yeah, you want to put them in their best light.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get
put on a poly girl
lady,
shirt.
You know, on there.
Now, Justin would have said yes, and he would have asked it to be made into a miniseries.
No, what I would have done, I do this all the time. Whenever this happened at the New Year's Eve shop, you know, at the party store, like someone comes in there and say, well, you're buying New Year's stuff. I'm always like, Miles, they want to talk to you. Or, you know, my wife, they're like, they want to talk to you. Like, I pimp them out.
Oh,
I make them go forward, and I step back.
Well, you're like very giving.
Yeah,
very you're giving. You're not a stage hog at all, then.
No, nope. I want to see them have to sweat it.
Grzanich, if camera approaches you in public, do you go on, or do you shun them?
Oh, no, I run the other way.
Okay.
I run the other
Steve
way.
Won't even let us take pictures of him for the show.
I'm in the witness protection program, which is something you don't know.
And Vandeveld, you do it. You're a total camera hog.
What? No. Are there prizes involved? Maybe. There was an incentive.
Now, in the old days, and by that I mean the 2000s, you would have had a staff of many go out with you. Are you doing all this on your own now?
Oh, no. I have an incredible, his name's Brian Rich. He's your pro tag? Yep. And he edits. So it's just the two of us, though. So there's no lighting guy. There's no sound guy.
Well, at least
no
you don't have
producer.
To do it all on your own.
Yeah, that part's fantastic. I'm not talented enough to do that. I'm not smart enough to run.
Wait, Super Joe. Did we get Super Joe's take on if he'd do it?
I think that's a solid no.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no. So it's a real cooperative bunch here. So when does it go up? When do you post it? We can see him.
Well, I try to post a new one every Wednesday, and then now I'm also doing a feature on Fridays where I
in the paper.
Yeah, you know what? They're printing it in the paper, okay. But it's longer. You know, you have more room online.
Yeah. And also, people watch online.
Yes, hopefully.
Yes, but check. But if you're picking up the Sun-Times, as you should, would it kill you? As I always say, get the paper. It supports the cause as well. And what neighborhood is next?
Well,
or would you kill me if you had told me?
Well, yeah, I might have to.
It's top secret.
No.
Secret.
No. Well, you know what? We just did East Village, which is, can you guess where that is? Because it's another little pocket neighborhood. Because these pocket neighborhoods are carving themselves
I know where Italian Village is, the restaurant. Is it east of that?
It is east. It's west of that, actually.
Okay.
It's East Village in Westtown, which is a little
bizarre.
So this
would be Chicago, like Eckerd Park?
Yes, because actually Westtown is divided now to Eckerd Park and East Village.
So this is one of these pocket neighborhoods you were talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Everybody wants to be in their own neighborhood.
Well, I was going
to
say, so as you've done these, have you got people going, when are you coming to mine?
Yes, absolutely. And why didn't you go here? And why didn't you do this? And I'm like, I could do a documentary on...
on the criticism you're receiving?
Well, that and all the neighborhoods, because they're all fantastic. I mean, the best part is just meeting all the people.
Steve, I know we got to go to break, but when we come back, I want to talk to G. I don't know how we haven't gotten into this yet, but G does all of the New Year's Eve reporting. She goes to the bars and the clubs.
Are we going to talk about the basement at location
the basement,
she was in
and
that
she's
time,
the,
I
she's
think?
She's the person interviewing drunk people on New Year's Eve.
God, I remember that. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I don't know how we haven't gotten to that yet, but it's coming up.
All right, New Year's Eve, the scandal continues.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance
is this Cheryl Scott? You know, she's a five-tool player.
Yeah, she dances, so maybe she sings too.
I'm going to say Tony Bennett.
It does sound like Tony Bennett with tight underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did many of these New Year's Eve shows, and I feel like I need to recuse myself because Mark Giangreco is a good friend.
Yes.
And most of the time on the Channel 7 show, the wait was to see how Mark Giangreco would inappropriately kiss Janet Davies. Leading up to that, you talked to a lot of drunks. What part am I missing?
That's about it,
that's
I would
the show?
Say. I was just one of them.
Yeah, but none of the others are here, so we're talking to you.
Okay, fine.
When they started doing that, we're going to have a location here, we're going to put a location in Hinsdale, we're going to be in someone's basement in Willowbrook.
How did they decide where you go?
I think they would put me wherever no one else wanted to go.
In a listener's basement or a viewer's basement.
There was one year, I think it was a couple years ago, that she was in the basement and it got rowdy. There was a jacuzzi and there was and everyone
was
jumping
ceilings.
Around. Low ceilings.
I mean, this is someone's basement.
Is that when you got
great
dunked?
Television.
Didn't
yes.
you get dunked?
I was with ABC7's Terrell Brown and we got dunked into a... hot tub. There was a hot tub in
this. Are you a strong
elaborate.
Swimmer?
No, I am not. I'm a very good wader. I can stay afloat to where I don't drown.
Hot tubs are not great for snorkeling, though, are
no.
they?
No. But the funny thing is, that night I almost died, guys. For real.
I'm trying to figure out what's funny about that. But,
well, I almost...
Because she lived to tell about it.
Yes, I did. Thank you, Mary.
Tell the story, yeah.
There was a woman, after the cameras were off, that was so drunk that she proceeded to tell me, I'm going to dunk your head in the hot tub because I had landed so that way at least my head was above water. But she wanted to get my
she
hair
thought that
wet.
Was entertaining?
Yes. Well, she was a little, three
so
sheets to the wind.
So she dunked you?
Yes, she kept. And meanwhile, I'm like, guys, someone save me. Help me. But in my I'm like, they're going to capture this on camera. I'm going to be drowned on camera, but no one's going to know it. No one was paying attention. Everybody,
I don't know
was
how else to
down.
Ask this question. Big gal?
No, I mean, she was strong. She was wiry, but
alcohol
strong.
Can make you stronger than your actual physical size.
Yes,
certainly makes you dumber.
How do you? What's the secret to interviewing drunk people?
I would say that you just have to keep it a very open-ended question. Just let them take it from
short
there.
Short questions, short answers. Yeah. Hope for no cursing. I think that's all of it. Did this woman ever apologize for something?
Oh, no. She didn't know what she was doing. Thank goodness, finally, after about 5 minutes, I mean, it felt like eternity, somebody noticed what was happening.
But see, I can identify with this because I nearly drowned. It was like my second job in radio.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not a good swimmer.
Please tell me it's a dunk tank.
It was actually a pond, and the morning show versus the afternoon show, big promotional idea, we were going to have a raft race across this pond. So in the raft race, you know, with the rowing, right? But listen, I'm a fine rower. I'm just not a good swimmer. So I was getting beat by, half a rowboat, and the little outboard motorboat that was next to us had a tow rope on it. And I thought, you know, it'd be funny. I'm grabbing the tow rope. I'll cheat and they'll drag me to winning. Forgetting physics.
You have to put weight in the back if you're going to use that.
Water
like a skiing.
Displacement is different based on the boats. Yeah. I was immediately dragged out of the boat. Now I'm in about 15, 20, 30 feet of water. The propulsion of being dragged out of the boat had my face about a foot from
the propeller.
You had to
let go of the rope. But people don't know that, yeah.
Then I let go of the rope, and then you have that second where you go, you know, I don't know if I can swim.
Is this why you refused to do the rowboats in Lincoln Park Zoo for our recess that time?
No, I thought it was stupid. Okay. So survival kicks in, and actually when the S hits the fan, I get real good real fast. So I kick to the surface, but much like your story, as I'm waving, everybody's on the bank going, oh, look at him going out there. Oh, look, he's doing a bit. Oh,
yes.
So funny.
I think everybody thought I was having a great time with this wiry 98-pound lady who was about
she
to drown
She was drowning
me.
You. I feel your pain, sister. Yeah,
thank God
you
lived to tell the tale.
Oh, imagine the history that would have been changed.
Oh, all of our lives would have
been
You know
what would have been different? David Plyer would be here.
You need to write a book about 80s radio. Was that 80s? That sounds very 80s.
Yeah, that would have been 80s.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
where's the Steve
era?
Cochran 80s radio? Just promotions.
Yeah.
Well, the promotions you guys would do.
I've nearly died five times, so I figure I got four left, and I'm not even a cat
That's
lover.
Five chapters.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's the first five, right? Or at least five I can intermingle. So will you interview drunks again? What do we know?
No. Well, I mean, I was on with NBC this last time, but I think it was like a one-night-only deal.
So they didn't include you with the drunks?
Well, I was with them. Yeah,
I watched. It was good.
It was. Yeah. Okay. It was nice.
But I think in show business, you have to agree, whatever your skills are, you need to exploit them. And if you're good with the drunks, you need to find a way to use that skill.
How do I hang out with the drunks all the time?
I don't know.
The key is also not to become a drunk whilst doing
which
it.
Yeah,
you got to have contagious. Special skills on your resume. You play bass, you can sing.
She's the drunk
hang
whisperer.
Hang out with drunks. Yeah. Drunk whisperers.
We need to monetize the fact that you're the drunk whisperer.
You're a genius.
Well, that's what I do. Yeah. It's 9:33. Let's come back with the headlines, and then we're going to play, John. Match game version 2 with our special celebrity guest G, who's not old enough to remember the match game, so explain it to her.
This ought to be good.
Yeah. We have a multitude of prizes. That means a lot. Time to play match game again. Musical director John DeCoste is here. He's also the host of match game. Our special guest G in studio. G, match game was a show.
Okay.
In the 70s, hosted by a guy actually from Chicago originally. He was a radio star, became a bit of a Broadway star, I believe.
Yeah, that's right, he did.
And then eventually became a television star. It was kind of a dirty old man type.
And then invented Rayburn sunglasses.
That's a different guy.
Oh, just another guy.
And the premise of the show was celebrities would answer a question, and then the contestants would have to match their answer. And hilarity ensues. So your task will be to just fill in the blank.
Okay.
And the contestants will try to come up with an answer. Most matches wins. The only thing different than our setup here is that this is nothing like that match game, so we don't get sued. And John doesn't have an awkwardly long microphone.
Super long microphone.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I think I've seen those before.
Yeah, I think the engineering term for that is the compensation microphone.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All right, John, are you ready?
Yes, I am. Do we have two callers?
We do. Let's go to Bob.
Bob?
Not even kidding. It's Bob in Crystal Lake. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, Bob?
Good, good.
How long have you been Bob?
How long have I been Bob? A while.
Okay.
Well, are you ever...
60 years, at least.
Okay. Are you ever Bobby or Robert?
Oh, same age as Steve.
Bobby when I was a kid.
Good. All right. Well, Bob, you know how to play the game, so I will...
jump to the question.
Yeah, don't give your answer until I ask for it. So here we go. Joe Romano, a big NFL fan, just went on 3 dates. The first one was a Saint. The second one was a Texan. But his 3rd date was perfect because that one was a blank.
I like this. I like this. That's good. That's very, very good.
I will do this again. Joe Romano, a big NFL fan, just went on 3 dates. The first one was a Saint. The second one was a Texan. But his last one was perfect because that one was a blank. All of our celebrities in? Yes?
I am in.
There we go.
I'm in. Barry Grzanich.
Bob, you want to give me your answer?
This is bad.
I guess there's not an NFL team called the Cougars. That would have fit perfect. I'll say a bear.
Okay, very good. Very good. Thank you, Bob. Mary Sandberg, let's start with you.
I said it's a lasagna.
What?
What? What does that mean?
Wow.
What does that mean?
North Dakota lasagna.
NFL fan?
He's Italian.
Yeah, but what's NFL fan? See, it was the names of the teams.
Yeah, the teams.
Bob, we apologize to you right off the bat. Okay.
You know what? I'm actually going to give Bob a point because he put up with that answer. Bob, you get a point.
G, go ahead. What did you put
in? Is there an NFL team called the Mates? Like the Nevada Mates? Yeah.
No,
there's not even a Nevada team, but thanks. Oh,
this is going really well.
I should have started someplace else. That's pretty good. So good. Dave Bennett, please save this.
A Viking.
Very good.
That's good.
Good answer.
That's good.
Justin? I don't know much about Super Joe's personal life, so I'm with Bob. I said bear.
Nice.
Very good. Very good.
Well done. Well done. Ding, ding, ding. Mary Vanderbilt.
I said because she'd be really cute, she'd be a little dolphin.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
If they're seahorses, they'd be even cuter.
So, Super Joe, basically, you're dating fish.
All right. Joe, what did you put down, Joe?
I said Titan.
Very good. Secret Santa.
I said a big old cuddly bear.
Yay.
Oh, very good. Very good.
How about Pete? Pete, give you an answer?
Bronco, Bucking Bronco.
So did I. Bronco.
That's good.
Bronco, right there.
There you go.
Actually, I originally said bear. I crossed it out. Then I said cowboy, and I thought, no.
Bronco.
Yeah. So what do we get? 2 points?
It's like Dayton and
Heifer. Yeah, I think there were 2 on that one.
Was that a 2?
Mary.
Let's go to Tracy on the south side. Tracy, go ahead.
Good morning, Tracy.
Yes.
Good. And you know how to play the game? I don't have to explain it to you?
Yes, I do.
Good. Okay, hang on for your answer. So let me read this out. Mary Vanderbilt loves Dancing with the Stars. But when she has too much wine, we might as well call it Blanking with the Stars.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right.
Hang on.
We'll come back and get them right after this. All right, answers are all locked in, I'm sure. Let's go back to Tracy on the south side. She has to beat 2-2. 2 is the score you need to beat, Tracy. John?
Let me read it again. One more time. Let me read it. Mary Vanderbilt loves Dancing with the Stars, but when she has a little too much wine, it's better that we just call it Blanking with the Stars.
All right.
Your answer?
Skinny dipping with the stars.
Skinny dipping with the stars. Because when people get drunk, they take off their clothes.
Look at that. Getting back at me.
That's a good one.
Look at you, Tracy. Good answer.
She kind of nailed it, huh, Mary?
You know, I'm going to give Tracy 1 point right away, just based on the answer.
I am so excited.
Tracy, you got 1 to start.
I wish I had that one.
I'm so excited. Let's go to Mary.
Well, mine is pretty boring now. Snoozing.
Snoozing with the stars. Very good. No, that's good.
Because she passes out.
Yes.
Because she drinks too much and
it's
passes
fair.
Out.
You know what? I got to say, it's better than lasagna.
Yeah.
G? Yes, go G.
Oh, gosh. Boinking?
Boinking.
Oh.
Well, well said by you.
Boinking.
Yeah, well said by you.
Yeah, we got Mary skinny dipping and then boinking.
Obviously, G does not know me.
Just another weekend.
I'm sorry, Mary.
Yeah, right. Dave Ennett.
Mine's really boring now. Drinking with the Stars.
Oh,
dancing, drinking.
Of course, Dave went drinking. Dave went drinking.
What? Justin?
The wine snob that I am, I'd say sifting.
Oh. Sifting. Very good. Very good. Listen, I like the way you're thinking.
Listen, you're not a B-Z anymore. Switch it up.
No, I'm just saying. It's good. You know, it's a show she's got.
Sifting.
Joe
sifting.
Romano.
Bar hopping.
Bar hopping with the Stars. Very good.
My backup option was lasagna.
Mary, your own question.
I thought I was supposed to still be dancing, so I said cha-cha-chaing. Oh.
Oh, apparently that's her version of lasagna.
Ooh. No. Sorry.
Steve Grzanich.
That was like the
blacking
good
out with the Stars.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
That's good.
That's very, very
really good.
Really good. Sleeping with the Stars.
Very good.
And by the way, not having sex. Sleeping.
Thank you.
Falling asleep and sleeping with the Stars.
Hey, so I said snoozing. That's the same.
Yeah, that's
you and I have a match.
That's why I liked your answer.
You guys blacking out?
Yeah. All right, 2-1. Guess who won? Bob, congratulations. Bob, what did Bob win?
Bob's getting a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for some delicious pizza.
All right, Bob, congratulations. Tracy, hold on, you get something too. And stand
by. She can have an app gift card.
On 720 WGN, Steve will be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.